In Acts chapter number 2, it is going to be a topical style message about being an encourager. Acts chapter number 2, and we're beginning a series next week and Sunday mornings going through the Gospel of Mark. And as I've been studying a little bit, it begins with obviously Christ and the Gospel. But the main first 6 or 7 verses talks about John the Baptist. And with our theme this year for the church is knowing and understanding the will of the Lord. We see what the will of the Lord is, that is certain things for certain people, obviously. But then all the laws, all the commandments, they all apply to the Word of God. But it's interesting to see how that looks on certain people. Like John the Baptist is a guy that has a Nazarite vow, probably has long hair, a long beard, and he's out in the wilderness preaching and teaching. You know, he probably wouldn't be a guy that we would want run at our church, to be honest with you. I mean, we'd like to hear his preaching, but the way he looked at it, we'd be like, oh, do we want someone like that? And, but he was doing what the Lord, what God had told him to do. So, yeah, of course we would want that based off of that Nazarite vow. But it's interesting. We all have different talents. We all have different abilities. We all have certain things that God has designed us in a certain way. And next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the girdle, the leather girdle, the eating the locust and the honey and all those different things that most of us look at John the Baptist and be like, man, that guy is strange. But what did Jesus say about him? And he was none greater born of women. I mean, he was someone that had a plan. God had a plan. God had a purpose for his life, and he followed that plan and followed that purpose. He's like, man, things must have been really good for him. The guy lived in the desert. He wasn't really the greatest. The wilderness, excuse me. The guy ate locusts and honey, was put in jail, lost his head, all those different things. And sometimes the will of God is it's not going to take us through easy pathways. Sometimes there's going to be work. Sometimes there's going to be hard times. And if you look through and you read the New Testament, that's oftentimes when God is working, the devil is fighting. When God is allowing something to happen, the devil is going to do whatever he can to oppose it. So we got to remember that. And we got to make sure we're on guard and be spiritually alert that we're going to be doing our part to be the mouthpiece of God and not the mouthpiece of the devil. Because even Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he was saying those things that the devil wanted him to say at that point in time. We've got to make sure that we are a people that are the mouthpiece of the Lord, the mouthpiece of God. Here tonight, we're going to look at a Bible character. One of my favorite Bible characters, his name is Barnabas. I wanted to name my oldest son Barnabas. My wife said no. And well, I'm sure we were discussing different names. She says, I do not want my son to be called Barney for the rest of his life. Because back then, the big purple dinosaur was really popular back then. Or you might not want him to think of Barney Fife either, so I don't know. And there was a couple other names that she said no to. I wanted to call him Green for my last name, Peas, Green Peas. She said no to that. I said, what about the middle name? And she said, But there was names that she asked me about, and of course I said no. So that's what negotiating happens. But we're going to look at nicknames a little bit tonight, and I've never called him Barney. I never called him Green. I don't even know if he really has a nickname too much. But tonight there's a man whose his nickname was the son of Consolation, and that means one who encourages. God's given us all different gifts. God's given us all different talents. And exhortation is one of those spiritual gifts that God gives us. And just because some people are better at it than other people does not mean that, hey, I don't have that gift. I don't have to be a part of that. That's not right. That's not true. You know, God gives all of us spiritual gifts. And he gives us specific ones that we are enabled to fulfill his will for our lives at in a greater way. But we can all be an encouragement. We can all be a help. We can all have a portion in those different things. Yes, some are more gifted teachers, but we all should be teaching others. We can all have a love for others. And some it comes more naturally through the Holy Spirit because of the way he's designed us. But at the same time, this idea of being an encourager is something that I believe all of us can do and is so very much needed today in the day and time we live in. John the Baptist was known for being the voice of one crying in the wilderness. His girded was clothed with camel's hair and girdle of skin with a girdle of skin around about his loins, and he did eat locusts and honey. He was definitely a peculiar individual. Boy, he was used by God. And I want to encourage you today to be someone that embraces God's will for your life. As we talked about this morning, if this is the Bible, this is in Sunday school class, this is the Word of God, we have to learn how the Word of God applies to our heart, how the Word of God applies to our lives. And I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, and I mentioned it yesterday with the young people, you know, I wouldn't have known some things were wrong unless the Bible told me. I wouldn't have known that I was supposed to forgive people until God told me that. I wouldn't have known that I was supposed to be kind to someone that I don't really particularly enjoy until God told me those things. And I wouldn't have known that I was supposed to tell the world about Jesus Christ until God told me those things. So we're not, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And no matter how long we've been saved, many times we think we got certain things figured out. The Bible always trumps. The Word of God's thoughts always trumps how we feel, because our feelings can be very, very deceptive. So tonight we're going to look at this story a little bit about Barnabas. You say it was topical, and the idea that we go through and look at some different areas in Barnabas' life and the nickname that he received and just the different things that encouraged him. And I think every time I think about him, everything when I look at this and read through it, it's an encouragement again to say, Pastor, why is it that we would choose to do this tonight? I think it's because I think the Lord wants us to be encouraging to one another. I think the Lord wants to add to our church. Here, probably in the last couple months, we're going to be looking to find some or seek out some additional deacons. And next Sunday night, we're going to be talking about deacons and the office of the deacon and even the office of the pastor and what that looks like. And I think a deacon, somebody who's supposed to be an encourager also. You use this word encourager. What does that mean? That word encourage means to inspire courage, spirit or hope, to spur on, to stimulate. And sometimes we do spur on and stimulate in a bad way. We encourage somebody to act in bad behavior, but obviously that's not what we're talking about in the Scriptures. We want someone who's going to exhort us, someone who's going to give us courage, someone who's going to help us to be courageous in the things of the Lord and the things of God. And I see that in Barnabas' life, and I'd like for you to see that tonight also. We're going to start in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 41. We're going to try to paint a very quick picture where this first century church was, and when it had added so many members. Barnabas, you say, well, Barnabas is one of your favorite Bible characters. It doesn't seem like he did all that much for the Lord. I think Barnabas accomplished much by helping others to accomplish much. I think Barnabas accomplished much by helping others to accomplish much. And to me, that's a very powerful testimony. And to me, that is a testimony of someone who was allowing God to use them to be an encourager. And let's look here and trying to just paint a picture here. We go from the few people that are in the upper room, and they're there and they're praying, they're seeking God as they listen to Jesus as they're in the upper room in chapter number 1. And chapter number 2, the Holy Spirit of God comes upon them, and you see the preaching that happens. And in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. A little bit over 100 people becomes a little bit over 3,100 people. Can you imagine what that would look like? Could you imagine if next week we had 3,000 people show up? Can you imagine what the parking would be like? Could you imagine we'd have to have the air conditioning on because of all how many people were jam-packed in here and open up the doors and just have the as far back as we can? Can you imagine? We all like to be a part of something big. But can you imagine the difficulties that would come with it? I mean, we have a certain number of people that come to our church, and many times there's sometimes tension or friction already inside churches, and that's only with a smaller number. But can you imagine 3,000 people are added to this church and added to this ministry? And it says here, they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So they're not here just one Sunday and leaving the next Sunday. They're there and they're interested. They're gladly receiving the word. They're continuing in it. They are someone who is actually interested and has received the Lord. And it's not just somebody who said some type of little prayer and you never see him ever again. It's somebody who's interested in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believe were together and had all things common. That means that everyone, all their possessions, all those things, they kind of put it together in a big pot. I know that would not work in the day and time that we live in, and I understand all that. But look at what they did in this first century church to try to help meet the need for these 3,000 that had many times from other areas that maybe had lost and been kicked out of their families because they put and professed Jesus Christ as Lord, and they were baptized and maybe lost their jobs, and they might have been homeless or unemployed, and there were some great needs there. And they were there and they're ministering to one another. It says in verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor of all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Yeah, the Lord's in adding. To be honest with you, I think the Lord's more in multiplication than he is in adding. But there is something there. But if we're trying to multiply, you know what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to divide. The Lord is one who wants to multiply. The Lord is one that wants to see the work going forward. He's looking for a place to bless. He's looking for individuals. He's looking for men and women he can bless. But the devil wants to do whatever he can to divide. Don't be a part of the division. Be a part of the addition process. Be a part of the multiplication process that God wants us to do. He said, well, where is Barnabas in this? Well, let's go to chapter number 4. We meet Barnabas for the first time. And once again, picture this. There's a large group of people who are recent believers. They are continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And it says that they continue to add and add and add. And here we see when there's problems, there's two different responses that happen. That's probably more than two, but two main responses. Number one, people see the need. And either they decide they want to be a help and be an encouragement, or they want to complain about the need. They see the problem, and they say, okay, what can we do to fix the issue? What can we do to make this something that can be a benefit, an encouragement, and help? Or they come over and they say, do you know there's a problem? Everybody sees there's a problem. In Acts chapter number 6, there's a problem. The widows are not being taken care of, and they come. We're going to look at that next week a little bit and talk about how God provided for that. Or there's others who make the say, hey, there's a problem, there's an issue. Instead of being a part of an encourager and trying to put courage in and trying to help, they become part of the problem instead of trying to help find a solution. Barnabas hears and sees this, and he is a part of the solution. So the first thing I want you to think about, an encourager will notice the needs around you. An encourager will notice the needs that are around you. Here in Acts chapter number 2, verses 41 through 47, we saw that we can only imagine what the need was. Everything was in common. People sold their possessions to help take care of others. What was the point is they saw the need that was there. Many times we live a life that is in such a breakneck speed, we rarely take time to notice. We rarely take time to really see what someone else is going through. We rarely take the time to be an encourager to somebody. If you want to be an encourager, the first thing you have to do is be someone who takes notice of the needs. Not to just live life at such a rate and such a pace that we allow all these things to consume us. And I know the Word of God, we talked about seeking Him this morning, the looking after Him, thirsting after Him in Sunday school, but we have allowed sometimes work and hobbies and pleasures and all these things to consume us so much that we put God over here in a little box and we added Him and we say, this is what I want, but we don't care for the needs of others around us. And here Barnabas is someone who not only sees the need, he responds. In Philippians chapter 2 that we've been going through or went through on Wednesday nights, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. How often do we ask somebody how they're doing? We do it all the time. How often do we really want to care to hear how they're doing? Many times it's just a greeting. I know people on the phone. Hey, how are you doing? Hey, and I understand that. And if you're interested, that's great. But many times, sometimes it's we're just asking, not because we care, but because we want to do what's right, but we just want to get to the rest of the conversation. Let's make sure we're taking time to see the needs, because there is no way that we're going to inspire someone with courage and spirit and hope unless we take the time to see the need of those that need to be encouraged. How often do we take time to pray for one another and see? This is not a call to be a busybody. We have plenty of those. It's not a call to be the one in charge and tell somebody how they're supposed to do something. To put courage in someone is to courage and give somebody encourage to do what's right. I'm praying for you. I see you're going through something. What can I do to be a help to you, a blessing? And I'm going to pray. I'm going to do my, you know, you can live for the Lord. You know, you can do what's right. You know, you can continue on and to be an encouragement. Here, Barnabas gives us the example that not only does he see, an encourager is willing to respond to. A encourager not only sees, but he's willing to respond. Or even as Barnabas does, he's willing to give. Look what it says in chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. We'll go verse 35. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So there was a need there. And Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see here what Barnabas does. Not only does he see there's a need, he says, I want to do something to help that need. God speaks to his heart. He sells his land and he gives it. So I want to encourage you today, if you want to be an encourager today, and I tell you, we have a church full of people that are encouragers. We do. I know people encourage me all the time. There are things. I don't know where they ever came up with this idea of Pastor Appreciation Month. And I'm never, ever asking for anything. I know it's something more. But this past month, we've had tons of different cards or gifts and things like that that people have given and say, Pastor, we appreciate you. And I'm very thankful for that. And that's not an advertisement to try to get something else. That's not at all. But it is an encouragement to, you know, have somebody say, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. What can we do? And to just try to rally around. And it doesn't happen just in one month. We're supposed to be a church full of people that are encouragers all year around. And there are people that are encouragers all year around. And I am so thankful for that. But are we being an encouragement to somebody? Do we see that there's a need? Is there somebody that we need to be praying for? Maybe it's our Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a child. And how much of an encouragement it says, I have few people tell me, I pray for you every single day. And boy, that's I don't know if there's something more encouraging than that when I hear somebody say, every single day, you're on my prayer list, I pray for you. And I'm thinking, I'm humbled when I hear that. And that's an encouragement to keep on. And here, when it is one thing to see a need, it's another thing entirely to actually roll up your sleeves and get involved. It's one thing to see that there is a need that is there, but if you really, truly want to be an encourager, just like Barnabas saw the need, he says, it's not enough to just see the need. I want to get involved, and I'm going to be a part of that. No one urged, no one manipulated Barnabas to give in this way. His desire to give, to help those in need, was based off his knowledge and how God provided for him. And because God had provided for him in a generous way, he was willing to be generous to others. And because God has been so good to us and we've been blessed in so many ways, I want to be a blessing to others that are around me. And that does not have to mean that we're selling every possession we have to be able to give. I understand the timing and I understand what was happening in the church and the needs that were there. But there is something to allowing God to lead you and to guide you and let him speak to your heart about what should be done. But we will never understand and know the needs of others until we're willing to take time to hear from the Lord, until we're willing to take time to take notice, not in the idea of being a busybody or try to take over someone's life, but instead, how can I encourage that person to live for God? That is the greatest friends we have, those who will encourage us to do things that are right, and those with the right spirit and right heart attitude that will come to us and spur us on to live for him. And that's what I see in Barnabas. I see in Barnabas' life is something that he was an encourager. The next thing I want you to think about is more than just saying, hey, let me know if you need something. And this is underneath, if you see the need, they would be willing to respond. Don't get me wrong. We live in a weird time. We live in a weird world. Sometimes you don't want to be offensive to somebody by trying to help them. Sometimes you just don't know what to say because some people are peculiar. Some people are like, who's going to go to John the Baptist and say, hey, what can I get you? You know, I see you're eating locusts. Can I get you something different? And, you know, we don't know what to say to some people. But many times we will say something like, oh, guess let me know if you need something. Because you know they're going through something. And we really, truly don't have a desire to be a help to them. Instead, it's kind of our way of saying, I want to do my part, but I don't really want to get involved. it's amazing when the Holy Spirit leads and guides. And we're going to talk about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in a second, so I won't go farther in that spot. But in Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thy hand to do it. If you see somebody has a need and God speaks to your heart, don't go up to them and say, hey, if you need something, let me know. Be a blessing. Be an encouragement to them. Matthew 25:40 says, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And I really, truly do love it when God puts something on someone's heart. Here in the last few months, there was a family that I felt like they had a need, and I wanted to try to meet it. And when it came to meals, and it wasn't a normal situation. And so because of that, it wasn't something I wanted to bring out to everybody else. So me personally, I called and I tried to figure out, hey, can I help? Can I bring something? And they said yes. And it was such an encouragement that day when I went to visit them. You know what? Somebody had done the exact same thing the night before. And God had spoken to someone's heart. And it was amazing to think and say that no one prompted them. And I understand we have a meal program, in a sense, some ways to help with surgeries and things like that. And I think that's great and that's wonderful. And we sign up for those things and we're supposed to contact you when we need something. I think those are all good things to schedule out. And those are all purpose-driven things that we need to do. But it is such a wonderful thing when God speaks to an individual's heart, so-and-so has this need, will you go help meet that? And the world doesn't need to know. No one else even needs to know. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart. And here, he is not only just seeing, he is responding. And I love it. And I've seen it over and over in the last 20 years, how God speaks to one person's heart about something to meet a need that no one even knew. Just, I think it was a few weeks ago, someone came and said, hey, Pastor, I have something that I feel like the Lord wants me to give something to be a blessing to somebody. And I'm thinking, okay. And he says, do you know of anybody? And he says, and I mentioned something to someone. And he said, you know what? God had already put that person in my heart. I'm just looking for confirmation. It's like, to me, that's God. That's God, how God works those things out. And the person didn't even realize the other people had a need, but that's something, the Lord can do that. And to be an encouragement, and once again, I'm not saying it's all about just giving something to somebody. I know there's people who will go, and it's such an encouragement just to stop and help them along the way. We've moved a few times in the last few years, and I think my wife's saying we're never, ever moving again. And so, or we're going to heaven next, and I understand that. I don't think that's going to be exactly the case, but someday, somewhere, somehow, I'm sure we'll have to go somewhere. But at the same time, you know, it's such an encouragement. There's so much work to be done. Someone comes alongside, and they're in a blessing and encouragement. It's great. Now, we should try to be an encouragement to other people, too. And I know what you're saying. It's uncomfortable. It may be uncomfortable sometimes. But try to be a blessing. Let God speak to your heart. Get close to the Lord. I know how many times I've been encouraged by someone, and it's so much more encouraging when it's not something that has to be said out loud. Now, sometimes people don't know the needs. When we have certain ministry needs that are here, and we look around, and we're like, okay, Pastor, whatever. I have people say, Pastor, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do. And I think that's awesome. I'm thinking, oh, great, there's a list here. And then I'll come out and say, you know, we need some help here. And sometimes nobody responds. And I mean, there's people, whatever you need, and then they're like, well, you didn't ask me specifically. And it's because I don't want to be the Holy Spirit in your life. I want God to allow you to put some, to speak to your hearts about meeting certain needs, because not everybody fits in certain spots. Not everybody should work in the nursery. Today, there was a little baby in there, and the baby always smiles at me, and the baby always has fun. She has a pacifier, and she's sucking on the pacifier, and when I go play around with her, I take her pacifier out, and she kind of laughs. Today, Mary Beth was holding the baby, and I was doing it. She smiled at me when I came in. I took the pacifier away. You know what she started doing? She started screaming. I put the pacifier back in there and I left. Mary Beth's looking at me like, why would you do that? I hope the baby stopped crying, because what's the point is we got to be willing and able to let God work in our hearts and lives to be an encouragement. And that is not just having somebody say, hey, do this. And sometimes it is that. Sometimes a pastor comes and you ask certain things, but let God speak to your heart. It's not just saying, hey, whatever you want, because we feel like Now we're putting that on somebody else's responsibility. Now it's a pastor's job to come ask me, or it's that person who's grieving, who is struggling, who is really struggling with something. Now they have to contact you and say, hey, you remember when you said you'd be willing to help? Could you help now? And I understand, sometimes we don't always know the needs. And sometimes people are peculiar, and sometimes people don't want the help. And they said, I don't need it. And I get that. But other times, let's be close to the Lord and let the Lord use us, because we want to be an encouragement. Here's a couple other things I think was interesting. We saw that that Barnabas was somebody who was sensitive to the Lord's leading. Let's go to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, Paul has went from Saul to Paul. He has gone to Damascus. He has seen the Lord on the way. He's gotten right. He's preached and he's taught. He goes back to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, he wants to join that church. He wants to be a part of that fellowship. He's a new believer, but he has done great work already in Damascus. But he's coming in Jerusalem. What is he known for in Jerusalem? In Jerusalem, he's known for persecuting. He's known for taking people from their houses and taking and putting them in prison. He's known for putting Stephen to death. He has a bad reputation. He has a bad testimony. And he wants to, hey, tell me where your secret location is for your church service so I can go and speak. I mean, I don't know if I would sign up and say, hey, yeah, I want, let's bring this guy in, and he's going to find out everybody that's there. But it says in chapter number 9, and it says in verse number 26, it says, and when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, I believe that you have to be careful here, and I understand you don't want to put other people at risk, but could you imagine if the church has spurned Paul, if they had taken Paul and say, we don't want to have anything to do with you? Can you imagine how much would have been missed in that first century church? You say, well, Paul, guess what, have went out? Paul needs some encouragement here too. So here you see a new believer who is already probably feeling guilty about his past. And he is trying to assay himself. He's trying to join up with the other disciples. He's trying to be a fellowship with them. And they're saying, no, we're afraid of you. We don't want you to have a part. But we see Barnabas come alongside. Barnabas in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Many times when we see a problem and we saw that person trying to join the church, we would just stay silent and say, oh boy, that's tough for Saul. Well, Saul is getting what he deserved Barnabas is like, no, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he goes and he says, hey, look, this guy is serving the Lord. We should allow him to be a part. And we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us, because you imagine how much of an encouragement. They look at Saul, we don't want to have anything to do with you because your past has caused us to be fearful of you. And Barnabas says, no, this is a man God's going to use. How much of an encouragement that would have been. And sometimes in our past, if we've done wrong and we've gotten right and we've seen God work and we've seen God move in our lives, to have someone come alongside and say, hey, I'm willing to fellowship with you. I'm willing to work with you. Then you see here in chapter number 11, go ahead and see in chapter number 11, something similar is happening. The church is exploding. It's going, it's been moved now from just Jerusalem to spreading all around, and now they're in Antioch, and there's something special happening in Antioch, and it says in verse number 11, chapter 11, verse number 23, who when he came and had seen the grace, we'll talk verse 22 actually to give you a little background. Then the tidings of these things, talking about what's happening in Antioch, people are getting saved, they're preaching the Lord. And then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. They says, the church of Jerusalem's hearing all these great reports. They send Barnabas out to see what's going on. Who when he came had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He goes and he sees people who love the Lord, who wants to learn more about God, that's cleaving to God. And he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. What does that mean? It means he was close to God. He was letting the Lord lead and direct his steps. And much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It says that Barnabas went out to find Saul, and he's back home, and maybe he's ministering, maybe he's serving the Lord. We don't really know. And he goes and says, hey, look, we got something here. There is a group over here that loves the Lord, that needs teaching, that needs training, that needs a good preacher that's there, needs somebody to be encouraged in the Lord. And he goes and he gets Saul, and he brings him back. And for a year, they work. And it says that Christians were called, disciples were called Christians first in Antioch because of the blessing and encouragement. Now, why that happened? Obviously, God did it, but God spoke to Barnabas. I want you to go to that young Christian over there that might be still struggling with the guilt of his past, that's gone back home and maybe serving in some way, and I want you to go get him, and I want you to bring him to this church that's new believers that would not have the same maybe prejudice against them, and would sit there and preach and teach and have God do something great in their midst. Man, what an encouragement that would have been. But the only way we're truly going to be encouraged is we take time to see the need and be willing to help, but also to be close to the Lord, because we're never going to know that need until we're close to the Lord. We're never going to know what someone else's needs and what their heart's hurting at unless we see something physically. But God can cause us to be an encouragement that that person needs someone to be that Barnabas to come alongside and say, can you help me here? I need your help. Next thing I want you to see is an encourager doesn't care who gets the credit. An encourager doesn't care who gets the credit. Now, you set up the storyline. Who's more well-known in the Bible, Paul or Barnabas? Paul. Who wrote more of the New Testament, Paul or Barnabas? Paul. Who was the one that came well-known and was known for being maybe one of the greatest Christians to ever live? Paul. Now, here we see in chapter 13, verse number 2, the Bible says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. It's always Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. You go to chapter number 13, and there's a change there. The name goes from Saul to Paul. But in chapter verse 43, you know what it says? Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed. What's that first name now? Paul. It's no longer Barnabas and Saul. It's Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Even you go to chapter 14, and they're there and they're preaching, and they're at Iconium, and then they go to Iconia, and they go all these different places. And in verse number 12, it says that they in verse 11, actually, chapter 14, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. So something had changed. It was Barnabas who was the one that was the leader. It was Barnabas who had his name first. But now we see it's Paul who is the chief speaker. But do we see Barnabas having a fit? We don't. Do we see Barnabas saying, hey, what about me? I'm the one that, Paul wouldn't even be part of the church if it wasn't for me. Paul would never even heard about Antioch if it wasn't for me. Paul wouldn't have been this. And Paul, no. An encourager is someone who doesn't care who gets the credit. As long as God gets the glory, that's all that really matters. But we see that sometimes because of our pride. And sometimes people, and I don't care, to be honest with you. If the Lord's working, then great. Let God work. I'm not in a competition with someone else. I'm in a competition to try to get the Lord as much glory as he can in whatever way that is. If somebody comes in and can preach better than me, then praise the Lord. I'm glad when I can hear good preaching too. And it's not a competition with us and other local churches in town. Some people might want to make it that way, but it's not. It's about how can we serve the Lord. And there's plenty, I mean plenty of lost people out there in Elizabeth City. And we need some people to come alongside and say, I don't care really who gets the credit for this. I don't need to be thanked. And once again, being thankful is important, being grateful. But I don't need any type of recommendation. I don't need any type of credit. I don't need to be the bigger God versus the other God. No, what do they do when that response is? They talked about trying to perform a sacrifice for them. But in verse 14, which then the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, they ran among the people crying out, and saying, sirs, why do ye these things who also are men of like, we are also men of like passions. They're like, no, don't give us any credit. This is all God. Make sure that you give it all to the Lord. And he preached unto them. He preached unto you that ye should turn from these vanities and unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that here therein. That it's God that's done all this. And if we would remember, if we're going to be an encourager, if we can lift somebody up to where they go do something great for God, then we praise the Lord for them. We don't say, hey, remember me. I'm who made you. That's not it at all. But there are some people that try to hold people underneath that type of pressure. That's not an encourager. A person who's an encourager is one who doesn't really care what credit is given to them. Last but not least, and this is kind of already said earlier, but it's shown once again, an encourager will help those no one else wants to help. An encourager will help those who no one else wants to help. Now go to Acts chapter 15. Now, Acts chapter number 15, it's kind of interesting here because in this you have a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. In Acts chapter 15, Paul is ready to go out on the journey. Barnabas is there, and Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. Now, Paul has taken John Mark beforehand, and John Mark turned, and most people would say he went home. He had to go back home. The journey was too rough and too tough for him. Because of the fact he left, John Mark at that point in time, Paul didn't want to take him again. Paul wanted to just keep on going. Barnabas wants to take him, so who's right and who's wrong? The Bible doesn't really, in my mind, doesn't say explicitly this is right and this is wrong. In my mind, in the end, Paul and Silas goes, Barnabas and John Mark go, and they both do good work for God, as far as we know, because later on, Paul says, hey, send John Mark to me. He's profitable. He did things that were good. Now, we follow Paul, we follow Silas, and there's an encouragement, and we see all the great things God does. And he said, well, Paul must have been right. Well, John Mark still gets encouragement. If Barnabas hadn't taken John Mark with him, would he have been profitable for the ministry then? He had the opportunity, but it's going to happen a lot more likely when someone's going to encourage him. Let's look what it says here. Acts 15, verses 36 through 40. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. And Some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren into the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, as I told you before, Barnabas is one of my favorite Bible characters. So I kind of like the way that Barnabas handled this. You say, well, you're going to question the Apostle Paul? Okay, he was a human. Maybe he was supposed to go that way and wasn't listening. They weren't listening that they were supposed to break up. And sometimes believers, they get hard-headed. I don't know about you, but I've met many hard-headed believers. I'm one of those hard-headed believers. Sometimes God has to really just show it right there for me. But you think about it. Back in Jerusalem, Paul wanted to go be a part of the fellowship of believers. But because of his past, they didn't want to use him. Here we have another example of a young man who wanted to be part of a ministry team, who wanted to go out and serve the Lord, but there was someone who didn't want to use him because of his past. And now I'm not saying everybody should have been the one to go on the road with Paul and Barnabas, because it is a tough job, it is a hard thing, and you need to be careful who you're sending with you. And not everybody is made, and it's not God's will that everybody is going to be like John the Baptist. It's not. There are Barnabases out there too that are different in the characteristics, but they're still serving the same Lord. And so Barnabas is there and he's encouraging, just like those over there didn't want Paul in the church, but they didn't want him because they were afraid. Maybe Paul had a legitimate reason, and I understand why Paul didn't want somebody else slowing him down. But I see Barnabas saying, you know what, I see something in this young man. I believe that he's gotten his heart right, and I believe that God can use him. And he comes alongside and he puts his arm around him and says, let's go serve the Lord together. And sometimes I think if we would learn to do that and say, I know that there's some struggles, I know there's some history, I know some past, let's come together and let's join together and let's pray together, let's serve together, let's work together. And that is what an encourager looks like, and that's what an encourager can do. He said, well, Pastor, how come more people aren't encouraging? How come we don't see other people going alongside and trying to be and lift them up and exhorting them one another? Instead, they're more interested in the division. They're more interested in having their way. They're more interested in them getting across what they feel like is needed. Many people would preach at Paul, you're getting what you deserve. You don't. Or many people would look at John Mark and say, you're a failure. But God looks at them, and God is, as we talked about this morning, abundantly willing to forgive and pardon. I'm thankful for a God like that because I failed so many times, and I'm thankful that I can get my heart right, and I don't want to miss the opportunities that God has given me. So I want to be someone who is an encourager. So we'll close with this thought. Who are you encouraging today? Who are you coming alongside and encouraging them and filling them with faith, or filling them to spur on and stimulating them in their spirit and in their hope to do the things of God? Pastor, I see the need all around us. We would be blind not to see the need in our world today. I would even go a step farther and say we would be blind to say that we don't see a need inside our churches today. We would be blind to see that we don't have something here that we could be doing better. But are we encouraging one another? The next thing is, if we see the need, are we willing to be a part of the solution? There's plenty that will point out the need. There's not as many that's saying, hey, I'm willing to help. Then, are we close enough to the Lord, as Barnabas, a man full of the Holy Spirit, that God is able to lead us and guide us in the areas that we need to try to make a difference? It is not always easy, and it's not always comfortable to do the work of the Lord. And sometimes I see people know what they're supposed to do, but they're not filled with the Spirit, and they go out and they try to do the work of the Lord in their own flesh, and you know what they do? They make a mess. Instead of being an encouragement, they come and the people look at them and say, you're the reason why I don't go to church. Because they're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're trying to do the work of God in their flesh because they do not want to do things according to God's way. And then we come to a spot, are we that close? Are we willing to take a chance on someone who we know has gotten right and take a chance on a Saul to say, hey, look, I'm willing to yoke up to work with them? And obviously, it didn't become Saul and Barnabas right away. He proved himself. He showed himself. And we saw those times that he even went back to home and he brought him up to Antioch. And even then, it changed. After all the mighty work there, they sent him out of Antioch. And when they sent him out of Antioch, it became that Paul was obviously the leader. We don't see Barnabas complaining. We don't see Barnabas whining. We don't see Barnabas saying, what about me? We see Barnabas saying, man, God's getting the glory here. And then later on, maybe Paul was being a little bit harsh with John Mark. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was what he needed. Maybe that's what needed to happen so that way two groups could go out and John Mark could get what he needed and Paul could accomplish what he needed to do. Who are we to question God? But are we encouraging somebody? There's plenty of people that could be encouraged. And you know, you go back to the Sermon on the Mount that talks about, hey, you love those that love you? Great. Everybody does that. But when you can love those that you don't really like or your enemies, that's when we look like Christ. And maybe not everybody loves those like we should. But it's trying to look what Christ looks like. Let's be an encouragement to others. Let's be an encouragement to those that are around us in our church. Let's fill people with courage and fill their spirit with, we can live for God. God can do something. And obviously, if there's things that need to be dealt with, there's sin that needs to be dealt with, let God take care of that. God's really good at that. We don't know what's upon everybody's heart, but be close to the Lord. Probably the message is always across. Let's be close to God. Let's be as close to God as we can be and let him lead and guide us. Let's not trust in our flesh. Let's depend upon him. An encourager. I want to be an encourager. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this story. I thank you for this example. Lord, a lot of us see a need. And Lord, there are some that are willing to help. But Lord, help us to be close to you so we can know how to help. Help us to see the different attributes we saw in Barnabas' life, and then we see how you use Barnabas to encourage others to make a difference. And because he was that encourager, he accomplished much. And Lord, I know he might not be on the Hall of Fame, in a sense, when it comes to believers. Might not be everybody's favorite Bible character. But Lord, I want to be, I believe we all can be, an encourager. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragers that you've brought in my life. Thank you for the people that you've come, that come alongside and they want to do the work of the Lord. And Lord, I pray you burden our hearts, that you burden my heart to be close to you so we can know what the next steps for our church is. In Jesus' name, amen.